Amen. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you and glorify you, Father, for all of our wonderful brothers and sisters on here. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you place in our hearts for each other. We just have such a good time together, Lord. We praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you put into our heart to want more of you, to stir up the hunger in us and to place in us a heart that wants to draw closer and closer to you, Father. And I ask, Lord, that you even bring it even more, Lord. So, Lord, and I thank you, Father, for filling us up with your Holy Spirit tonight. And we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a wonderful time, even though it's not a whole lot of us, but there's all of us love and are drawing nigh unto you. We thank you for it. We praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that all of our prayers will be answered tonight, because we believe and trust you for your promises, Lord. We thank you, Lord. It's not so much faith as we just trust you, Lord. You're going to fulfill those things. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Okay. Who's got a prayer request? Has anyone got a prayer request or a testimony? Okay, Missy.
Well, I've had a I have a couple te two three testimonies or whatever to share. I was talking to Michael and Julie. I think it was Sunday. Wanted them to agree with me, and I said, "But I have a good report. It's been 4 weeks since I've had any of those muscle knots and headaches." I didn't say this. It tried to come on slightly a couple of times, but didn't come on. Rebuked it and whatever. And I said, that's a record, and it's a record that's going to last for eternity. You know, I'm healed and I'm delivered. And the enemy was trying to get me to keep my mouth shut and say, you know, if you confess that, if you tell about that, you're gonna get muscle knots and headaches, you know. And I'm like, no, I don't receive that. I rebuke that. Well, the enemy tried to make me think that I wasn't healed and I wasn't delivered, because the next day that was put on me. And it's like, nope, God's word says, and it wasn't as bad as what it usually gets, but the thing of it is God's word says that I'm healed and I'm delivered. 2,000 years at the cross, he doesn't dwell in time, and I still believe I am healed and I'm delivered. You know, I'm like, no, I don't receive this. It's a lie. You know, it's like the enemy would, you know, the Lord's really been showing me here lately. You know, the enemy would try and give you every reason to put in your mind every reason to accept something of the curse. Like, for instance, you know, you got those muscle knots and headaches because of what it was you were doing the other day. Something you don't normally do, you use muscles, you know, and your arms or whatever, for instance. I'm like, no, I'm still healed and I'm still delivered. That's just one thing that the enemy will try and do to me. Well, anyway, and I've been dealing with these lying symptoms of in my lower back, muscle tightness, and I figured it wasn't as much tightness as it was spasms, because I've worked move a certain way and it would spasm. And so Merle and I were gonna mow the lawn yesterday, and I'm like mowing the lawn, praying in tongues, and I'm like, I'm healed and I'm delivered. And I thank you, Lord, that this is not I'm healed and I'm delivered. And I don't receive the thought that it's gonna get worse and so on and so forth. Well, it was a trial, and I was really tired and worn out after the fact. But even though I was tired and worn out and kind of felt a little sore, those spasms weren't there like they were. And even today, that it was even better, just barely there. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. I am healed and I'm delivered. It's all a lie and I don't receive it. And then there's this other thing that I've been dealing with. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's like there's like all these things that the enemy's been hitting me with, and I've been fighting the good fight of faith. Well, I'm not going to give you details because I don't want to gross you out, and I don't want to embarrass myself either. But so I'll just kind of tell you what I need to tell you to kind of for you to get the gist. I've been dealing with something else and having pain with something else, and earlier today, I think it was this morning, I had this weird sensation. And I thought, I wasn't sure, but I thought, you know, that I was going to have pain or something. And I wasn't sure, but this sensation, that didn't necessarily mean that I was going to have pain. And I'm just like thanking the Lord that I don't have any pain, and I don't have this symptom, and I don't have that symptom because I'm already healed and delivered and da da da. Well, then I realized that that sensation was the word majorly manifesting healing. Like most of the pain and irritation was completely gone after that weird sensation. And I was like, thank you, Lord, praise you, Jesus. I was like surprised, you know. Anyway, so just wanted to share some of my testings and my trials and my good reports. It's like the Lord's really getting it into me is, you know, it doesn't matter what you see, you feel, or you hear or whatever. The curse is the curse, and you've been made free from the curse. Your old man is dead. Your old man sins. The old man is the one that has the curse, and Jesus became a curse for you. He freed you from your sin. You don't have sin. You abide in me, and in me is no sin. In me, there is no curse. There is no pain. I took all that upon myself, and I gave you health and deliverance and healing and all that. It's not yours. Don't receive it for 1 minute. And don't accept it for 1 minute. And I just, you know, I'm like, you know, like I said earlier, the enemy would try and give me every excuse to receive the curse. And I just keep casting it down. It's, you know, when I think about it, I realize that God doesn't dwell in time. And we're seated with him in the heavenlies, and I abide in him, and he abides in me. In him is no sin. In him is no curse. In the heaven there is no sin. There's no demons. There's no curse. There's no sickness. None of that, you know. And it's like God doesn't dwell in time. He doesn't dwell in time. And if I'm in him, I'm not in time, because in time there's the curse on this earth, you know. But, you know, I listened to something the other day, and it's like this guy giving a testimony, a near-death experience. He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And he said some similar to what I've heard David say, or something about, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be. We're supposed to bring heaven to earth. Jesus came to earth. He brought heaven to earth, you know, because they're, I'm like, wow. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so also on the earth. And it's like, he brought heaven to earth, and we, if we abide in him, we bring heaven to earth too. We bring healing, I bring healing, I bring deliverance and all that to others. And I just like the wheels have just really been turning and really thinking about all this. And I've been really encouraged here lately, with
Praise
it
God.
all, and just it's pretty cool. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Okay, Julie.
That was good message. Yeah, so I've been dealing with some similar stuff, just overcoming the mind and the flesh and what it feels like. Thank you, Lord. We have to. I just want to share a testimony too. Where I live is dry, and fireworks are not legalized here unless they are sent out. This is done by, a group, company, or whatever on designated areas. Well, anyhow, of course, this tomorrow's the 4th of July. Well, starting like 2 weeks ago, late at night, early in the morning, out in the there's a shopping strip mall shopping center over here, and the stores are all closed and everything, and I don't know that there's security there or not, but it's pretty well lit. Well, anyhow, this happens repeatedly, and I don't know if it's kids, young adults, or who it is, but yearly they kids they get a hold of these fireworks and they shoot them off in the parking lot out here. And I like to sleep with my window open if I can. If it's cool enough, I could like to do that in place of having air conditioning on. So my window's open, and of course it's facing that way. And it keeps me up at night. And it's like, so this year, they've already started a couple of weeks ago. Somebody was out there doing it, and I just said, I am not listening to this. I told the angels, I said, go take those fireworks away from these people. I don't care who they are, and take their fireworks from them, take their resources from them, and get them out of my neighborhood. I am not the only one this is affecting. And I said, I'm not going to hear any more fireworks tonight. And they did it, so I didn't hear anymore. And then the following night, it happened again, a little bit earlier in the night, like maybe closer to 10 to 11, 10 or 11 o'clock. And I'm like, nope. I told my angel, I said, you go take those fireworks and you get these kids out of this neighborhood. They're not shooting off fireworks. It's illegal. And they're not having them. And I'm not going to have my sleep disrupted. And I didn't hear any more the rest of the night.
Please come.
And then it was like last week, I heard it again, like one or two nights. And I'm like, nope. I know I told the angels to take those fireworks away. I mean, all of them. They are not shooting off fireworks. So I just am believing that tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday night, through the weekend, and even afterwards, because they do that too. They still get these fireworks. I'm not going to be disrupted by fireworks in my neighborhood out here in the parking lot with these kids or whoever it is shooting them off illegally in the name of Jesus. Because I thank you, Lord, you honor faith. And I know the angels hearken unto the voice of your word. And I am not putting up with this. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. We're going to have peace and quiet throughout the holiday weekend. Amen. They're going to shooting off fireworks. It's going to be done where they're supposed to be done. And they have them over here at the school and a couple other places. They can go there and watch them. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that after I get through watching them tonight, that you shut them off in Jesus' name. I'm just a big kid. I like to go out there and watch them. David does too. All right, next.
And I don't like to have my sleep interrupted in the middle of the night,
No, I
one,
don't
two,
either.
three in the morning, And it's like, yeah, it's like right outside. It might as well be right outside my window. I mean, that's how close it sounds,
Oh gosh. All right, anyone else? Okay, I got a good song tonight, but also there's a history of the song in front of it. So it's going to be interesting.
decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The song is believed to have originated in Assam, India, now Meghalaya, among the Garo tribe, who converted to Christianity during the 19th century. A group of missionaries spreading the message of love, peace, and hope in Jesus came into these communities. They were not welcomed. But one local man, Noksang, along with his wife and two children, chose to find out more about Jesus, and they became Christians. Noksang's faith was contagious, and other villagers began to accept Jesus too. The village chief was livid and summoned all the villagers. He then called Noksang's family, who had first converted, to renounce their faith in public or face execution. Moved by the Holy Spirit, the man sang his reply, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back."
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. Before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me. Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Awesome testimony. Did y'all get to see it, read it? Okay, good. All right. Has anybody else got a testimony? Yeah, Judy.
Not a testimony, but if you were reading that said, please pray for the persecuted Christians in India, but other places too, and I don't know if you guys have seen any of this, but there's a lot of Christians being persecuted. I saw something on YouTube not long ago and read and watched it. But in Nigeria, I think it was Nigeria, that they had mass massacres. I can't remember how many people, like 100 something or 200 something,
Who's
that went
killing them?
into the village. I don't
The
recall.
Muslims?
I can't remember. To the
Okay.
time, honestly, I don't remember. I have to go back and look at it, but there's a lot of persecution. So we do need to remember to lift up our brother and being persecuted in other countries and such, because it is happening, and we know that eventually it is coming here as well, and that people be prepared for that. That's just what I wanted to share. Let me see if I can find a video on that. But I watched.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your protection upon all of your people all over the globe. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for your big warrior angels around about the ones that you want to keep to get this message going, even after a lot of them have been martyred. Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be a Let our hearts be as stout as that man's was when he saw his wife shot and killed, and then all his two children killed, and then his wife killed. And then he said, No, I'm staying with Jesus. I decide to follow Jesus. Glory to God. Lord, give us that reserve to nothing else matters but you. Because you know, even if we get shot, that's a good thing. We're right there at the feet of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord be to God all the time. Thank you, Father. Anybody got anything I'd like to share? Something happened. Somebody must have come on and left. Yeah, dude.
Michael, it's 210 Christians have reportedly been massacred as the genocide against Christians in Nigeria spirals to chaos. So this was on, oh, what channel this is this? CBN News. And this was 6 days ago. They reported on it. That's the latest. So.
Who's killing them?
I couldn't see anything in the caption, so sorry. I don't know who. What Nigeria, what kind of
Think it's Muslims. It looks it.
is it Muslim over there? Does anyone know? I don't know. Let's see if there's anything in the comment. I know. Bless them, Lord. And I
Yes.
pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our brothers and sisters. I pray you give them strength of soul and endurance, and that they would stand boldly and be able to profess Christ and their faith, and no turning back, and that you would use it for your glory. I pray for the families, loved ones who lost, their dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and the whole the whole Christian community there, Lord, and that their loved ones would be find comfort, Lord, and even the ability to rejoice that they are home with you and they did not lose their, they did not believe in vain, they did not trust you in vain, that they were martyred for your name's sake, and it's a high honor. So I pray, God, for your blessing and your anointing to be on these brothers and sisters in Christ, where they are being persecuted, where they are dying for your name's sake because of what they stand for and what they believe, and that you will give them the boldness to go forth, and that people would even turn to you, Lord, because of the power of the Holy Spirit working in these kinds of situations, Lord, just like we just, you know, that song Michael played, and that even though they died, their family died, that the chief and the whole village turned to Christ and gave their lives to Jesus. There's nothing stopping what you want to do through these things, Father. We just praise you. And if you will make a way for the people to be delivered out of these situations, I thank you for that. You, whoever is doing whatever, whoever is doing this, Lord, that you would draw your elect from among them, Lord, and save them. I thank you, Lord, for doing this because it's appointed unto us to die. And these people have been appointed, and it's your plan for their lives, Lord, that they would lose their life this way for you, and that it's not in vain, and that it would your the gospel message would go forth from it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, the northern half of Nigeria is Islamic and the southern half is mostly Christian. But the Christians are they're a loving people, but the Muslims are a murderous people. And so there you go. Same thing where it is going on in other places as well, killing the Christians. That's happened. It's had been happening in Uganda, Libya, and also in Zimbabwe. So, Lord, we thank you for showing the people that Christianity is a turn the other cheek kind of peaceful religion that believes in the love of God instead of the hate of God. And Lord, we thank you for getting that message out across with the love of God that heals, delivers, and sets free even Muslims. If I just stop a moment and think, thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We break the power of Islam out of Nigeria and murder in Jesus' name. I mean, angels go over there and stop this nonsense, killing God's people. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, if this is a cleansing, that it be a quick work in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right, anyone else? What were we supposed to talk about, Mark? Does anybody remember? Yeah, Judy.
Michael, I'm not sure. Were we still talking about a hunger for the
I
Lord?
think so. Yep, I
Because
believe
we
that's
left
right.
that
That's,
off last week
I
or
was thinking that
something.
this afternoon. Yep, I believe it is. And Lord, we just cry out to you and we thank you, Father, for what you've put in our hearts to want a spiritual hunger to grow in our hearts, Lord. Nothing can satisfy it but you. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for that. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There is a yeah, Lake had a deal. He calls it the secrets of spiritual power. Can y'all hear me okay? Is my volume all right? Well, let me get it over here then. I see
Oh
some.
no.
Is that better? All right. You're welcome. All right. John D. Lake, Secrets of Spiritual Power. It's pretty short. He says, spiritual hunger or intense desire, it's a desire for the fulfillment of spiritual results, not a desire for more of God. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, but they shall be filled. I exercise a position of the dominion and authority of Jesus and seek to establish that through the power of the Holy Ghost in my life and the life of others. We do not ask God to come and heal, but we demand in the name of Jesus for the devil and his work to depart. Well, how do we develop our spiritual hunger or our appetite? Well, the same way you develop physical hunger, increase energy output, which will require greater energy input. You must force yourself to do the things you normally do not do. Eat when you don't want to. Eat more often than you're used to. This will stretch your stomach, forcing you to eat more the next time just to feel full. Example, pray more often. Study the Bible more often, witness more often, begin to practice what you learn in the Word. If you will do a history study of all the great men of God, do you know what the thing that you'll see that all of them do that makes this happen to great men of God? It's prayer. They pray and they pray and they pray and they pray, just like Jesus did. Jesus would shut them down and go to the mountaintop to pray. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to pray. That's number one is pray and study the Bible more often, witness more often, begin to practice what you learn in the Word. And then you feed on the Word. Read, take a portion of Scripture and get the overall story. And then study, and take the verse apart, all those things that we do when we read the Word and study it. Number three is communing, communion with God, communion with God. Talking prayer. Listening to prayer and practice the presence of the Spirit of God. Talk in prayer, listening prayer. A lot of times we like to talk, but we don't like to listen to what the Lord has to say. Well, he never answers me. Well, that's because you won't shut up and listen to it. I'm just saying, that's what I used to do. Used to think that that was prayer. Was just going ahead and talking and getting your prayer out and then getting up and go doing something. I'm just sitting there and listening for God's answer to anything that you have. Then I started making a notebook of the things that God, I'm sure everybody here has one, of what God has told you over the years. Okay, number four is fellowship with like. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
No, on what you were just talking about, Michael.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can be studying the Bible and you ask the Lord a question. You'd say, Lord, isn't that what happened to me that time, way back when? And isn't that kind of similar to what you're showing here in your word? And of course you'll get a verification very soon after. It's kind of like almost instantaneous. Sometimes you're ready to say that question to him, and he's already answered before you get the whole question out of your mouth. So that's just the way that God teaches us anyway. So
Amen. I'm glad you brought that up. That's exactly right. Go
sometimes
ahead.
when you're gray haired, and you go through quite a bit of stuff, he'll remind you. He'll remind you of stuff, that you learned maybe even in other churches, when you were really young and stuff, and anyway, It just goes to show that the Lord was always really drawing us, because
Amen.
we were predestined to be called. Yeah. So he was guarding us and protecting us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. I can remember, Andrew, before I was ever saved, of the things that God did that came before me. And I said, God, that sounds like God. You know, or see things that happened in your life, like somebody coming up and start talking to you about Jesus and you're getting excited about it, but then you didn't do anything about it, you know. Things like that all along. Well, I'm just saying that's happened to me a number of times. You know, and then supernatural things that happen as well. Anybody else? Okay, number four is fellowship with like-minded Christians. Get around people that believe like you do, but that if there's none in your area, win some. Then disciple them into this truth. If the people in your church or in your fellowship are dead and resistant to this truth, leave that place and find a place that accepts it. And if there's no place like that near you, start one. You are a missionary. This is Lake talking now. Thank you, Lord. And that's exactly right. I believe that. That's a good number four there. If you don't have any churches around you, start one. Public confession of who you are in Christ and who he is in you. Jesus is the Lord of me, family, city, nation, finances, health, etc. Start confessing that. Then the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came to them and spoke unto them and saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Then Mark 16:15-18. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany him that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And that don't mean go get you a bushel of snakes and have fellowship with them either. Some Pentecostal churches do that. Romans 10:9-13, because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is confession again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then the golden rule, Matthew 7:12, all things therefore whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, even so do ye also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. Then the abiding anointing, 1 John 2:27. As for you, the anointing which you received of him abides in you, and you need not that anyone teach you, but as his anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it taught you, you abide in him. And then power over the enemy, Luke 10:19. Boy, life, that's one of my favorites. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. And then the works of Jesus and greater. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. I am God's son, man's servant, and the devil's master, glory to God. And then we ought to be praying in tongues a lot. Loud, he says. Blake says, loud, it brings up the fight in you. Long, time yourself and get longer each time. Build scriptural or spiritual stamina. Intensity, fight as if your life depends upon it. It does. And if not your life, somebody else's. Action, James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. It's the law of the human mind that I can act myself into believing faster than I can believe myself into acting. Y'all get that? I used to have it all over. It is the law of the human mind that I can act myself into believing faster than I can believe myself into acting. In other words, go ahead and start being a doer of the word and let the faith will come. Just trust God that he's going to follow you and he's going to do the things that he's already told you he's going to do. He promises to give us that. That's what faith is just trusting God. Do you trust the God that's in you? Yeah, we trust him. Well, do we believe what he says in his word of God? Oh, yeah, I believe it from Genesis to Revelation, glory to God. Anyway, that's that little short book that there, Secrets of Spiritual Power by John Lake. And it is a good one, and it's one we ought to go by as well. It'll help us in our daily walk with spiritual hunger. That's what I've been praying for here recently, spiritual hunger. Lord, up my spiritual hunger. I want more of spiritual hunger in my life. You know why? Because spiritual hunger leads to a closer relationship with the Lord. Okay, I'm through. Anybody else? Go, Jenny.
That scripture in Matthew, it says, "Blessed are they that hunger, for they shall be filled." That means he's going to fill us.
Yes.
You know, if you keep getting hungry for it, he's going to feed you more of himself, more of the word, more understanding, more revelation. And I don't remember where it is. Is it Isaiah or is it one of the Psalms where it says, "Open thy mouth, and I will fill it."
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I was just thinking, Michael, when you're saying that.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
Know, I was just thinking of a real bad example of this. You know, those people who go in food contest, see how much they can eat. They can eat like 20 hot dogs, and
Yeah.
they train for that. You know, there's actually contests you can win, you know, and they go and eat lots of food, and it's not like they starve themselves the day before. That doesn't work. You feed yourself, then you work yourself up to even a. I know we sometimes do this accidentally, especially since Friday's come in and you're having. But you know, it's a spiritual allegory for feeding up on the Lord's word too. You know, you get more hungry. You know, like a person would ask the Lord a question, and he'd give you an answer, and you get five more questions from his answer. You know, and you know, I just noticed something when you were reading that 1 John 2:27 has a lot to do with the covenant. In Hebrews chapter 8, when God puts his word in our mind and in our hearts too, you know, but it kind of says it a little differently in 1 John 2:27. It almost is giving you more authority to do it there. So It's kind of like when a child studies in school, he gets better at his math. You know, they start with addition, subtraction, then comes multiplication and division, you know. So you get more in the higher maths, you know, and pretty soon, you know, you're in college or university doing your math, you know, and you're going to be as smart as the guy who made the numeric Bible. Anyway, he found a wonderful measurable miracle in God's word. You know, you can measure a miracle here for the first time, you know, and you'll know exactly what letter goes there. And it almost leads you into avenues and stuff that would really want you to focus on things. We're not sort of prepared to be able to speak Greek, though, and but it sort of shows you the importance of sometimes getting a Greek word in there that's numerically correct and shows a miracle of God's word. And beyond any shadow, to have the light, to be in the light. Anyway, so that's really neat.
Amen. You know, I listened to the history, a short history of Dwight Moody, and I was a praying man. They were poor people. And he had to go to work real early in his life in order to help support the family. Dad run out on the family and left all the kids. I mean, it was 9 kids that he walked out on with his wife. And but when he came to Jesus, he finally came to Jesus at, you know, I don't know, he's in his teens, I believe. But he started praying. He was a praying guy. And if you know that a little bit of history about Dwight Moody, he brought a lot of folks into the kingdom. He was an evangelist. And a good one at that. But his legacy was praying. He always prayed. Got answers to his prayers too. He needed something, he'd pray. Kind of like George Lennon, but it was a little different. He'd always pray for the people in the crowds to become the Jesus before he'd go out there and preach, and they would. That is awesome, you know. But anyway, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to talk to him and help. He'll help us if we just talk to him. And I'm talking to y'all, but I'm talking to myself too. Because I don't do it near enough. I don't. And I'm just confessing this. I don't do it near enough. But Lord, I thank you that from this point on, we're going to. It's a spiritual hunger. I have been crying out for spiritual hunger. And it's working, because when you can start seeing things rise up in you when you start reading the word. Whew, it's good too. Feel it right now. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, I think it was Wednesday where you started to talk about the veil of the temple. And suddenly it just dawned on me, because you mentioned John chapter 10 at the same time as the door. And then I went, wait a minute, that veil is a doorway too. You know, I just never really thought of it as a door before. And I went, yeah, now we can enter in through that door, you know, and
open door.
You know, you look at the different parts of that old temple and you're trying to figure things out. And you can see better on how that tabernacle, the first tabernacle, is Jesus anyway. So and God the Father. So we're trying to get into a place where we're already put in. You know, like when you have a baby in the hospital or wherever you have it, you know, you bring him into the house, don't you? He might not know it's the house or all the parts of his house, you know. it's nice to show them how the light switch works when they get old enough and they're in your arms, because then they want to turn the lights on. And it's nice to have those big button lights now that they have, you know, the ones you just push. And it's interesting, some of the words they start to learn too. So it's been a long time. And but we have to learn those words too. We have to know what light means. Not the lamp here or the light in the sky in the morning time or at night. We have to know what that light, how it gives us even the life of God. So, we have to know what life is, you know, because we get a new life. So, you know, you don't necessarily have to look at the whole verse. You know what light is, and you know what life is. You know what church is. If you take apart Romans 1:16 and 17, you know what righteousness is, and you know what faith is. Faith is your living, and what kind of life is that you're living? You know, the righteous shall live by faith. You know, and if living is the word of God enacted, then what are you living? And in him we live, move, and have our being. So there's three verses there with living in it, and it gives a different definition from the dictionary. So we look at that word life and living, and we've got a completely different definition that a lot of the church has no concept of. They're in the first land. And we want to be in that fourth land. We want to bear fruit and increase. And it's just so lovely the way the Lord does that with us. You know, he gives us a little bit, a little more, and a little more. And he actually uses everything we go through, even the bad stuff. Even, you know, that person saying, oh, you see Andrew over there, he found Jesus, let's get him. And they try to go after you. And not maybe to the sense as was read in Nigeria there, but it's almost automatic. Everybody's against you after you come to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and you go like, what? Sometimes as a little Christian, you're going, why is this happening? You know, I thought he was a Christian too, you know? And it's just odd for us sometimes, but it's true, and it does happen. And every single time it does happen, it gives you more. You don't forget those little occasions in your time with Christ. He brings them to your remembrance, yes. But sometimes you just daydream about that. And isn't that thinking on the Lord anyway that's supposed to be in you? So if you want to daydream, daydream about the Lord. You know, like I got a bad report on my report card when I was in grade school. She said I was a daydreamer looking out the window all the time. But, you know, you could daydream on the Lord all you want, especially if you're retired like me. Anyway, you think on the Lord, you know. If you daydream, how close is that to dreaming? You know, he gives us dreams, you know, and if you're daydreaming and just thinking about them all the time, like, some people would tell you, get a life. That's a bad thing. I already got one. You need to get it too. Anyway, to have them on your mind is, sometimes people feed you that's not a good thing, you know, like, and of course they're wrong. You know, if you want to think about the Lord and daydream about it, go ahead. You know, so all you mothers who are homeschooling, you better ask them, and they better not use this as an excuse to trick them. So, because then they're going to have to do some real daydreaming. Anyway, so praise and glory to God. Lord, keep us, lead us and guide us. Lord, let us our thoughts be on you always, virtuous thoughts, and thoughts of holiness, thoughts of righteousness, thoughts with you, Lord, in that way we're supposed to be, to have the truth with us, and to always be maturing in the Lord, gaining fruit and increasing in the Spirit, in that Holy Spirit, in that Spirit, in that water, and in that blood. Because now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. And those three, Spirit, water, and blood, they're all spiritual. And His Word is spiritual too, because it's God breathed. So you're daydreaming on the breath of God. Sometimes that's really nice to do that, you know, if you're thinking about Him. I mean, some of you who used to have dating and you wanted to make a husband out of someone or a wife out of someone, you daydreamed about them. And now we daydream about our Lord and our Father and what He wants us to do. So praise and glory to God. And sometimes the both of them can work together too. So praise God.
Amen. Yep, that daydreaming got a lot of us in trouble when we were younger in school. Anyway, yeah. Especially in the springtime, you know, when everything's looking good outside and you're not worried about it. World history, who cares? I don't want to watch outside. Anyway. Now we got a different one to work on, and that's the Lord, to think about the Lord. And Andrew's correct. That's a good way to do it. Keep our mind on the Lord all the time. Julie, did you have a song you wanted to play? Would you play that song?
Yeah, this song, I was just thinking about this song when we were talking about spiritual hunger. We played it before on the praise and worship night we have. So did you give me share rights, share permissions? Oh, you did. Thank you. Okay.
You may begin.
Okay, Jay.
Hi, Debbie.
Steve. days are new. My soul thirsts for you.
My heart cries out, Lord, for you. Praise Lord. That's a good praise song. Amen, Barbara. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, when it talks about in 2 Peter 1 and 3, since his divine power hath given to us all things pertaining unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. And of course it mentions godliness in that verse, but then there's, I looked it up, it's in 1 Timothy 3:16, the mystery of godliness. And it's, on whom it was manifested in the flesh. So it was manifested in the flesh, and it's past tense, and justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on in the world, received up in glory. And you know, one of them is giving you all the godliness, and the other one is a mystery of godliness. So it's a hunger there. When you compare these, try to overlay these, overlap these two verses together, it should give you a hunger to manifest godliness. And because since it's given to you in what Peter says there in 2 Peter 1 and 3, and we know that the next verse speaks on promises, then how do these, you know, godliness being manifested, you know, the mystery of godliness in 3:16 of 1 Peter, 1 Timothy is very interesting. And it comes right after, because that chapter talks about the qualifications of overseers and the qualifications of deacons. And then there's this mystery of godliness in the last four verses there. And I know that you people are familiar with what I'm saying here is that, you know, that there's also the mystery hid from the ages. but now is being revealed, you know, in Colossians. And, you know, these mysteries that the Lord speaks of, we tend to know some of them. We tend to have our familiarity with them, our love for them, our application of them, our activity in them, to be active in these mysteries of godliness and the mysteries that are hid from the ages. So we want these mysteries. This is, I think, something that would make us want more. You know, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to ask for God. Now we got some verses to ask him by, you know, and there's lots of verses to ask him by, because we know that we have to bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So we want to ask for more and more of the Lord. We want to make it to that sun glory, you know, and the moon glory and the bigger stars even. And I was just making comments here to maybe I was daydreaming. I don't know. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Anybody else? What does spiritual hunger mean to you? Nope. Yeah, Andrew. Get to you next, Missy. Then I'm going to start calling on people.
Well, I think it means you want to overcome. To be an overcomer. There's a lot to that, though. There's a lot that entails. I think that, like, is your entire consciousness, your entire being absorbent to all of it, you know, taking it all in, you know, to be active in it. You know, if you want, if he tells you to go, you should go, yeah, but I always was told that it's called out, then sent for. You know, I was enjoying Matthew chapter 10 today, okay? And there's a lot of things you have to pray for when you go through all those verses. There's quite a bit there, you know. He's telling you, you know, to shake the dust off your feet sometimes and to present the gospel to other people. But he's talking to his disciples. And sometimes I go, well, Lord, they don't even have your blood yet. They don't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit yet. They have the Spirit on them. And of course, they're in great company and they're clean because of the word you cleanse them with. But he's kind of doing the same thing with us too, you know. And it was just a whole eye opener today for me. Someone must have been praying for me today, because it was wonderful, you know. From going from 5 to 10 in Matthew, it was just, you know, in the last 2 days, it was wonderful. It was just excellent. It seemed to all open up and collate with me. I can't wait till tomorrow when I get into chapter 11. Ben already reminded me of the yoke that has to be around my neck for that one. And to come unto him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what do we labor in? We labor to fulfill this mystery of godliness. I mean, we want to imitate our Father anyway, as beloved children. And walk in love. So, and love never fails. So, praise and glory to God. So, I think it's for me, it's overcoming. That hunger is overcoming for me.
Amen. All right, Missy.
To me, it's for me, it means wanting more Jesus, wanting to know him more, wanting to be in his word, hear his voice, just to abide in him as he abides in me, you know, that they're just to always be. I want more of a consciousness of him always being there, you know, like Brother Lawrence said, practicing his presence, just knowing him. And the only way I can know him more is to be in his word more and more and more, not being able to get enough of him. Wanting to just have a continual fellowship with him, continual to hear his voice, to have a back and forth conversation with him. Wanting to be everything that he is, that it shows us in the Bible to love him without limits. It to me, it's just it's all those things. It's just like Pat, Andrea was saying, you know, overcome. Well, I have the overcomer in me to overcome. He overcame sin, death, hell, and the grave, and I have that one in me. And I want to tap into that, for lack of a better way of saying it. I want the only way to tap into that is to the only way I can have more him is be in his word more, hear his voice more. Just it's all that. It's all that, you know. You know, like hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who have hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, what is that? Jesus. There's none righteous, none but one, you know. There's only one that's good. There's only one that's righteous. And the only way I can be righteous is to know the one that is righteous and holy. And pure. To be pure even as he is pure, you know? That's what it is to me.
All right, good.
Amen, Missy. I was thinking along the same line. It's like, you know, when I got saved, and I know, and we've all been there, because it's not anything that I did it myself. You know, nobody comes to Jesus unless the Father draweth them. And I know now, you know, that it wasn't me seeking God. It was God giving me a desire to seek him. And otherwise I wouldn't have done that, you know, because I was of the world and wanted to do the, you know, worldly thing. But, you know, God brought me to the place where I did not like who I was, and I didn't, you know, I was hurting and just all kinds of things. But he used all that, and he drew me, and then, you know, he really wooed me and started opening up the word to me so I could understand it, because I was seeking to know who he was, who is he, and who am I? Because I was at a like loss of like, well, who am I? You know, what is my identity if, you know, all this has failed in my life and I don't have, you know, I was here by myself and end of a relationship, and it's like, oh, I don't even know who I am. You know, and God was using all that to draw me into his word and to seek him out and to find out who I am. And, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm a child of God. I grew up to believe that, you know, but there was just so much I didn't know. It's just stuff I was taught when I was little, you know, through junior high and into high school, but never really thought to study God or search him out. So I know it's a gift, and to be wanting to know who God is, and then when he does that, he starts showing you things, and he starts giving you answers, and starts answering your prayers, and it's like, wow, you really do love me, and you really do know me, and then wanting to know about why all these things happen in my life, and the Sovereign God book was so helpful in helping me understand a lot of things about myself and my family and why things had happened in my life the way they did and such. And God was just showing me things. And when you start realizing you can have a relationship with your creator, God who he is, and why did Jesus really die for me, when I'm and you just realize what a wretch you are, compared to holiness, and you start getting revelations of these, sin and what you are and what you were, and how can I be like that, even though that's what I'm supposed to be. And so it is a gift to really seek God's kingdom and to find out who you are and that it's all in Christ, and to learning all these things. And it's, and to think that we're going to be in eternity still learning and still loving and praising God forever. And it's not going to be, there's not going to be any insincerity or fakeness about it, because it's going to be a real, genuine love and adoration and worship and praise. And it's because it's who he is and it's who we are. And so the hunger part is, don't, for me, it's like, don't let that, when you suffer lack, when you, like I was sharing something with Missy and Michael about, I hadn't had waffles in a long time, and I made some today. But when you haven't eaten something for a long time, they tasted so good. I hadn't for a long time. So it's like when you've been away from the Lord, you've been drawn away, it's like sometimes we need a lack or something to stir that hunger again, because it's like, I don't want to get bored with the word. I don't want to get bored with learning. I don't want to come to that place or a plateau where okay, well, I'm God, you're not showing me anything else. I want more. I don't know if you've got that feeling or thought process ever that you kind of reach a plateau about learning more or something, but anyhow, just suffer lack. But, if I'm hungry and thirsting, it's like I'm hungry. I want more, and to starve yourself of other things. So it's all you want is, and when you don't hear from the Lord, I think sometimes God uses that too, and he's just not answering you right away, and you want to seek him for answers, and you're not hearing from him. I think that's a cause that something that he uses too, to keep us interested and longing and running after, to know him more. So it is about wanting to know who he is, because it's spiritual. It's not how we know people in the flesh, is how we know somebody, and even each other, is how we know them by their fruit. We know them by their spirit. So it's how we have to look at seeking God too, because the person who he is and how much he gives and what he has sacrificed for us, just so we could be his children and be in his kingdom forever. It is a something, it's a desire that he puts in us, so we wouldn't be able to it. Lord, I want you to do that more in us. Put a more desire. Because it's going to be something we'll have in eternity. And I like you, want to be right there at his side in, the throne with him always. Now, I don't want to be in the outer courts. So I don't want to be in the, the suburbs, is what's his name? Odin Hendrix said, the suburbs and never getting into the city and stuff. I want to be right there in the Amen.
I put a sign up on my wall back here where I sit a lot, and I look at it every once in a while, and I try not to look at it a lot of times, and that's crazy. But here's the sign. It says, "The proof of passion is pursuit." The proof of passion is pursuit. What do you pursue the most? Do you pursue the world, Or do you pursue the Lord? And that just makes me sometimes it makes me sad that I'm not doing more, but sometimes I look at it and I say, yep, yeah, that's right. I've been doing that today, so praise God, you know. But we need to constantly, and I said that, to constantly remind ourselves what our focus should be on while we're down here. I listened to a guy today on Sid Roth. Debbie, I'll get right to you. On Sid Roth today, that had died and gone to heaven. And the first thing he saw some people there that was in his family. He saw his aunt. I can't remember her name. I don't know. But anyway, he said Auntie was there, and I never thought that she would be there, because she was leading a life that was, wasn't of God. And he said, "But we don't understand how God works in people at the last days of their life, that they could come in at any time." And that's why I'm always believing for people that I truly love, and knowing that God's going to do it, because he can change your mind a minute before they die. We prayed for a guy, a lady, a guy one time that was dying. As he was dying, he professed the Lord on the telephone, and he came to the Lord right then. And he told his wife, he said, "I'm going." He said, "I'm going." She says, "No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not." He said, "Yeah, I'm going." Off he went. So he went to heaven right then after leading a life for the devil. That's how the grace and the mercy of God. And he also said this. He said, "I didn't see some pastors up there that I thought would be there." He said, "There were pastors that was not there that I always thought that they might be there." And he asked the Lord about it. He said, "Well, they weren't doing what I asked them to do. That's all about them." I don't, we don't know. So we can't judge people. We can pray for them. That's what he wants us to do. All right, Debbie, go ahead. I just thought I'd raise that up. The proof of passion is pursuit.
That's good. I was thinking the same lines of a couple of things that Julie said. As soon as she said it, I put my hand up because I don't want to get that out there. So, but I was thinking of the word hunger. Hunger means you're empty. So we're empty for more of for things of God. We want more and more of God. Yet at the same time, we're constantly empty. If we're hungering for Him, then we've got a hunger, something's not filled. He wants to fill us more and more and more and more. And so, like she said, you're starving and you got to get rid of that self-life. And so we can got to get rid of that first. We can even hunger more for God. We got to know we need to die to that self-life. But to want to be hungered, to want to be hungry, at the same time, filling up and still wanting more and more and more. So that's kind of neat. So, Lord, help us to do that. I was really touched by that song that Julie played, and I was thinking, oh Lord, what mercy you have to keep calling out to us for hunger more of me, thirst more for me, be more hungry for me. And we hear things talked and we things teaching said and hunger more for me. And it's like, yeah, is there ever going to be a time where he's going to say, you don't need to hunger more for me? I said, no, there's not going to ever be a time because he's got more and more and more. And sometimes we think that, okay, I've reached it. I've got it. I've got all this. I know all this stuff. Wow, look what I've learned here and everything. And it's like, we're still hungry. So we got to know that we're out, but to know we're hungry. So praise the Lord, I'm hungry. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God, yeah. Feed that hunger with the Lord. Go ahead, Joe.
I was thinking about the same as what probably what Debbie was thinking is I was younger, prefer more work, but I was thinking myself, I'm studying quite a lot because I'm not going out very much, but I think the hunger I need is the whole of Christ. In other words, I should go out more, not just studying the word. I would probably think myself that I would confess that I was studying quite a lot, spending most of my day in the Lord and studying and reading all this, but I think I must, well, I think of it, I must go out more. In other words, must eat the whole Christ, not just just the word, but be the living as well. Thank you.
So what was that last part?
Was not, the hunger for me is not just reading and studying the word. I must go out more. In other words, just go out of. I'm usually staying at my flat. I'm studying quite a lot, but I must go out more and evangelize and walking and talking to people. So I'm not just studying, just feeding on the word. I must living the word.
Thank you, Lord.
Because
Make
that's
us,
true.
thank you, Lord, for making us all doers of the word. Glory be to God. Not only readers of the word, listeners of the word, but doers of the word. And we praise you, Father, that that is coming up real soon. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love talking to people. And I get out and I'll talk to people all over. Next day, we can tell you. And, come across some interesting people. Came across one here a while back, a lady, elderly lady. And she was filled with the Holy Spirit, she said, but she was anti-Trump. And anyway, I'm not going to go into it, but I tried to get her off of that into talking about the Lord, you know, because you find somebody that's anti-Trump, they can get into that. DTDS pretty quick. And so I just try to get and start talking about the Lord. And that's how I do it. I try not to get on the worldly things so much as steering them away from that to the Lord. And it works most of the time. Works a lot of times, actually. A lot of times I just walk off. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Andrew. I want to hear from Ben too.
Well, I was just thinking about hunger and thirst and strange and naked and sick and in prison. So we want to be sheep about this, not goats, okay? And that's Matthew 25. And you know the goats were feeding them the wrong way, you know, and giving them the not very good palatable food. You know, they were being mean to them actually, and the sheep were gentle and meek and lowly. And you know, it's kind of a funny thing. I was watching a video once, and someone put a goat in the same pen with some sheep, and the goat was attacking the sheep. He was actually bucking the side of the sheep, and I was going, man, he better separate that goat. Because they're just tenacious, keep going at you know, with their horns. You know, I've only ever experienced a goat once, and he just would not leave you alone. He was going to try and get you. And I don't know if sheep are the same, but you know, anyways, we feed off of each other, and we feed on the good things. And we are reminded sometimes too. The Lord reminds us. Now, sometimes, you know, when you think about the Lord reminding you, and someone reminds you from fellowship, what's going on there, you know? Like I ran into that guy the other day. it was different with him than most other people, you know. Do we hunger for an open door? It seems to me like you might have more of a chance in some other areas, but I just wait on the Lord, see if he gives me an open door with someone. Because if you don't get that open door, then it ain't there to be received. And God has to set up the drawing for the person. Yeah, sometimes we wonder what's taken him so long with some people, but he's always on the job, and that's the good thing. Anyway. And sometimes we wonder about ourselves too, on what's taken so long. But you know, we wonder because he's wonderful, and we have to keep focused on him. So that's how I want to end that. I want to end it on a positive note. So praise and glory to God.
Y'all have heard about Gator Gitmo, haven't you? Gator Alcatraz. This is funny. I ain't gonna say yeah. Y'all had to check that one out. It's got a gator coming up with a hat on, with ICE on it. Yeah, you seen that, unit? Yeah. Oh my.
No, I haven't seen it, but there's a lot of memes out there.
I saw one yesterday. Whenever it was, with the Senator Kennedy. Oh, that guy's he's a comedian, but he don't want to be. He just Kennedy. Anyway, I'm not going to go there. All right. Anyone else on this, Ben? You don't have to if you don't have anything right now. It's fine. I'm going to let you off. How about you, Barbara?
What spiritual excuse me, what spiritual hunger means to me? Well, listening to you guys, I could resonate with everything you guys all said, you know. But a scripture that always comes to me is the one in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death. That, to me, that scripture is that's powerful, that scripture. Like, spiritual hunger to me is, you know, what Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you know, you will be filled. And that's what we hunger and thirst for him. We hunger and thirst for his righteousness and to be conformed like him. You know, we must die to our flesh. And like Andrew was saying, you know, we have to overcome. To me, that's, we have to overcome our flesh. And I cry out to the Lord. I mean, Lord, only you can do it. I can't do it. You have to kill me. You know, you have to really, I mean, he knows my heart. I just hunger after him, and he's slowly doing it, you know, and I want to know him, and I want to make sure I hear from him. And I realize, you know, a lot of times why we can't hear from him is because of our flesh. the flesh is in the way, you know, and you know, I just cry out, you know, Lord, make me like you. Rise up in me. I have you in me. I read the word. I study the word. I have the word in me. You are the word. But that flesh, I just got to be dead to that flesh, you know, dead to the flesh and alive unto God. But seeking him is, you know, that scripture, Philippians 3:10, you know, that I may know him. Because, you know, we all want to know him. We want to know more of him. And that I may know you. And the power of your resurrection. The resurrection is him resurrecting in us. You know, us being so dead to our flesh. And he, and, you know, we hunger after him. And I don't know. I can't get all my words right, but pretty much what you all guys said, that's how I feel, you know, the hunger after him. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Get us all there, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
There's been stuff that's been said, but not said quite this way, I don't think. But what came to me is not being satisfied with where I'm at with him.
Good. Is that it?
Yep.
That's good. Okay. Not being satisfied with where we are at any time. Crying out to the Lord at all times. Thank you, Lord. I'll put something in the chat there. I said this earlier. It is the law of the human mind that I can act myself into believing faster than I can believe myself into acting. Y'all get that? What does it mean? You're already unmuted, Missy. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to. I'm trying to look at the chat. Get out of it. Well, what came to me is faith without works is dead. You know, with that.
So it's actually, what does it mean? It is the law of the human mind that I can act myself into believing faster than I can believe myself into acting. That means be a doer of the word and forget about just reading it. You can get quicker faith by acting on what you know than you can by sitting there and trying to believe it. In other words, go out, bring the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, do all of those things that the Lord told us to. And that's where your faith starts multiplying astronomically. That's what Lake taught in his healing divine healing courses. Just get out and do it. Just get out and do it with somebody or yourself, either one. And the more you do it, the more you're going to see results. I'll tell you know why? Because God takes somebody that's new at it and he'll give miracles to them just like that, right off at the beginning. And you start using your faith because you know when you pray to somebody, they're going to get healed. Because it's happened so many times before. And you know that that when you pray for somebody, they're going to get healed. After a few times. And God will just give it to you because he wants you to get that faith to believe that he will fulfill his promises to each and every one of us. Go ahead, Julia. Did you raise your hand?
Yeah. I was thinking that last part come into my mind is like, you could then I can believe myself into acting. Believe myself into acting. If as like a hesitation, like to try to do something, but you won't do it. You get doubtful or fearful. You're letting your imagination work. It's like I'm not sure I'm supposed to do it. And then you won't do it. It's like the opportunity was there, and you didn't take it. That's what I was thinking.
That's
Kind of what that
exactly
means
right.
too.
That's
Right.
exactly right. That's exactly right. Just go ahead and act on what you went there for. I've done the same thing. Many times I said, man, I ought to pray for that guy. He's in bad shape. I just walk right past him. And then I beat myself down in the head because I didn't pray for him. But that's what he's talking about right there. He's talking about doing what he's asked us to do. I don't pass it by anymore. That's what he's telling me anyway. We're going to have them aisle sixes for eyes. Anybody that's blind, go to aisle six. Anybody that needs a healing in their back, go to aisle four. Deaf and dumb, go to aisle one. You need to go to aisle one because you can't hear me. Just saying, I'm just making, that's going to happen. I believe that with all my heart. I've had dreams of that. All right, anybody else on that? Do you understand what he's saying? Yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
Just one thing, kind of like what Missy said about, and I'm not satisfied. We know that we're not satisfied, so that's exactly what hunger is. We're not satisfied. We need more. So, yeah, to stay hungry, want to stay hungry for them to be thirsting. But then we got to do something about it. That's what I was been contemplating a lot on lately. Is what am I doing about it? I know I'm hungry. I know I need more of him. But that's why we got to put things down. And I know I'm not satisfied. And so. That's what Barbara said, but I can't do it, Lord. I can as I move on in you and your power and your strength, but I have to do the action. I have to do it. So I pray, Lord, help us to really get into seeking him out more, and especially for myself, seeking him out more. And I've been really working on that, and I've been really blessed in a lot of ways. So just hungering after him and staying in the word more. So that's what our food is, right? So amen.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I was just thinking about the last chapter of John. And they all were going to go fishing. I go fishing. And they all went out, all seven of them, like one for every church, okay? And they met Jesus on the shoreline. So he had other plans for them, to get going, maybe they were just waiting and waiting, and suddenly they just, and to me, it looks like they wanted to go back to fishing. These guys, all four of the fishermen were there, and they recruited three more, and James, the two sons of Zebedee, and Peter and Andrew went fishing, and then they took three more with them. And maybe they were hungry, I don't know. And they saw Jesus, a resurrected Jesus on the shore with his little charcoal fire there. And he was going to talk to them about what they should be doing. And he even told Peter three times. Well, maybe it made up for the three times he messed up earlier. That's what I was taught anyway. I don't know. Anyway, praise and glory to God. It's just a thought. I'm not saying that it could happen that way. It already did. And they already had the blood of the lamb too, though, I think.
They done give up, had they? They were going fishing. I don't know what's going on here, but I don't know. Golly, I got, let's go fishing. Jesus done told them what to do.
Yeah, he told them to go fishing.
Yeah.
He told them what he told them way back in the beginning, fishers of men.
Yep. Make disciples out of them.
But you
Yeah.
know, if one of them were mending their nets, how do you get them in the net? You know, like, and they caught all that fish, you know, when he told them what to do.
Told the fisherman what to do.
Put it on the other side of the boat, you know? Yeah. They caught a whole bunch of fish. And Peter was all afraid. And he said to him, "Get away from me, Lord. I'm just a sinner."
Yeah.
And then, of course, it seemed like to me the same thing may have happened there again on the end of John's there. And of course, he set him straight again. Maybe that's the lesson there. He's always going to set you straight, back on course, back on the road. Praise and glory to God.
Yeah. Sometimes we can be hard-headed, can't we? Just a little bit. Thank you, Lord. I think sometimes that when things don't go right with people like they think it ought to, that they kind of sit back and relax like the fishermen did, like all the guys did. And then the Lord has to show up, shake them up again. Ooh, come, Lord Jesus. Well, they are talking about, just to bring up a little bit of news, they are talking about this EBS happening when? Saturday, I think. If that happens, July the 4th is going to be an awesome, busy day for some folks. Yeah. It'll be the anointing. Could be. Let's see. Thank you, Lord. I hope so. I'm gonna be ready to get this thing going. I am. Thank you, Father. I'd love to see the anointing of the Bob and the man child. Y'all, we got a few minutes left. What do you think that anointing is going to do to you? Go ahead, Joe.
Sorry, before I answer the question, I just want to make a quick comment. I read that book that you talk about on Tuesday about W. Kenyon. What hit me quite a bit, as I use bad words, it hit me. It was, it took that example of a man and a wife, if you want to adopt a child, where do you go? In other words, you're looking for beautiful people or similar to you, all this. But if you think about the Lord, he doesn't choose the nice people. He chooses the people who needs him, who needs a savior, who needs who's the bad people of the world. He needs he doesn't how can you say prefer one people over other. You understand what I'm saying, Julie?
Yeah, I was understanding what you're saying is like you're reading the book E.W. Kenyon, and one of the observations that you made was that Jesus wasn't looking for all the beautiful people, all the right people. He was looking for people he could use, and it's not necessarily what you might think it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean,
That in a kind of nutshell, like what you were trying to say?
yeah, that's a thank you.
Well,
Sorry,
that is a
Michael, to
good.
interrupt you.
No, that's okay. That's a great observation because if you look down through history, most of the people that were great men and women of God were poor, outcasts and things, you know. But they loved the Lord, and they got close to the Lord, and they did this, what the Lord wanted them to. And he could use those kind of people. He couldn't use prideful people that want to be seen and heard by man up on the stage. He wants some humble people. One of the humblest guys that I remember that had a wonderful ministry, and that was what's the guy from Kentucky? William Branham. Very humble guy, actually. He was real humble. I watched a little of his today, and he had a wonderful gift of words of knowledge and gift of discernment and a gift of healing. And he got that by being humble and seeking the Lord. Of course, he was, if you have ever read about him, he had a wonderful childhood too. He saw angels and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, God loves a humble heart. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
Can I share a little testimony? Something else I forgot about that happened earlier today.
Is this a still story made long, or is this a long story made short?
It's short.
Okay, go ahead, yeah.
Well, Merle and I were sitting on the swing on the deck in the back, and there's these trees that hang low, tree limbs that hang low and get in the way, because I'm usually one that mows that back part at the woods. And I know I've cut the branches before, but if you know, I said, will you help me go cut those branches? One if one pulls them down, then you can cut them off shorter, you know. Anyway, so we're there and I'm pulling the one branch down, and Merle has these cutters that with the hooked blades or whatever, and he's up there trying to get it, and he didn't have a hold of it, and it slipped, and his arms fell down with the clipper, the whatever pruner whatever thing, and it hit me in the head right here. I go, Merle, he goes, I'm sorry, and it hurt but not real bad, and so at the dinner table, I said, do I have a mark up there or anything? Because I felt there and I didn't feel anything, like it didn't feel tender at all or anything. He says, no, there's no mark there or anything. And I just consider that the Lord intervened there or whatever, because that could have really hurt and cut me or whatever, I haven't even actually deliberately looked at it in the mirror myself or whatever. So just I thank you, Lord, that you helped Merle's arms not let that come down full on my head.
Amen.
So
Did
thank you,
it
Lord, for you.
break? Did it break the pruning shears? That's what I want
No, ha. He kept saying, I'm
to
sorry, I'm sorry. And I said, I know you did try it, I said, I know,
know.
but anyway, so
Amen.
I mean it hurt a little, because sometimes something can smart pretty good, but
Yeah.
you're fine then afterwards, Well, it didn't make a mark or nothing, and it hurt a little bit, but not much at all, So thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Amen.
Lord, for your protection.
Thank you, Lord. Well, I've got a little testimony today myself, but I went out walking this afternoon out behind the theater up on the mountain and back down again and way down under. And generally when I do that, I'll come back and I've got to pick all the ticks off of me. But before I went, I just prayed and I said, Lord, I thank you that you're going to keep these varmints off of me. I'm not going to have to worry about ticks or chiggers or any of that mess. And or snakes and anything like that. Went down there and came back, didn't have one on me. Praise God, and I ain't going to get no more. Thank you, Jesus. Little seed ticks. All right, anyone else before we close out? What do y'all want to talk about next Tuesday? Jesus? Okay. Has anybody got a
Someone
special?
will come up with a question for discussion.
What's your question?
I said someone will come up with a question.
Oh.
Someone will come up with a question for
Okay.
discussion between now and then. Thank you,
Yeah.
Lord.
Didn't Patrick come up with one today or something? Did I see something over there? I don't remember what it's something like
He
that.
put something in the chat. He put something in the chat, like a hypothetical question, but
Yeah.
he's not here. He's not here tonight anyway, but
Yeah, you gotta be here. Yeah, you
I
gotta
didn't
be
have
here.
a chance to really look at it and meditate on it.
Okay. Go ahead, Joe.
A little bit of a taste of money. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I bought my light in the kitchen. Remember I got that taste of money? My light was flickering and I was fighting with good fight for faith and it's working again. But this week, the past couple of days, it was on and off. And most of the times, if it's off and on, but that's still staying on the word and keeping it. And from yesterday onwards, the light is shining and bright as ever again. So that's a no, it's not, no, it's not an ongoing battle, that's a finished battle. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. The last shine. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed, yeah.